Hey, everybody.
Hi.
This is I'm Actually Comics for Tuesday, June 12th. And we are going to be talking about comic books for a change.
Yes.
It's going to be an exciting change.
Actually, we'll be talking about comics.
Cool.
I'll be choking on Rolos because I have to eat, swallow them whole, and so you don't hear me chewing.
That's great. I love it. Okay, so what would you like to talk about first?
I'm going to talk about my favorite comic of the week.
Excellent.
So all these comics are out tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th.
Ooh, and I'm going to do some research on this comic because I forgot to before
we started. Yeah, you got to tell me.
Okay.
Okay, so Exiles, number 4 from Marvel Comics. And this is written by Saladin Ahmed, drawn by a person whose last name is Rodriguez. I'm only looking at the cover at this point. I loved this comic. If you look at this comic and the cover has the Thing dressed as Blackbeard the Pirate, because if you know your Fantastic Four history, you know that the Thing is Blackbeard the Pirate from a time travel adventure that the Fantastic Four had in the early days, the Lee Kirby days. So this is an alternate reality that the Exiles visit where the Thing never stopped being Blackbeard the Pirate, and also other superheroes are pirates, and it's amazing. So this is Blink and Valkyrie from Thor, and a baby cartoon version of Wolverine, and some other characters, and they are interacting with Marvel superheroes, comic book pirates. And it's amazing.
Okay,
the comic itself is wonderful. The thing Tristan is researching is whether the comic has been canceled.
We have no idea. I still have no idea if it's been canceled.
God damn it.
I don't remember whether or not I ordered another one. I feel like I did not, but It makes me feel like the comic is no longer, that it might have just been a 5-issue little mini.
Well,
but
it does say to be concluded. However, it could just be that the arc is concluding. In the next issue. Also, there's a cliffhanger at the end of this issue that is wicked cool and typifies exactly why I think this comic is amazing. And it's because it's full of bonkers ideas and awesome fun. And it's great, and it has good. The writing is good, and the art is good,
and
I love it.
And it's got an adorable little cartoon Wolverine, which is really And he doesn't know what death is, and it's very sad.
But at the same time, it's. Oh God, I love this comic. It was so good.
It's awesome. Ooh, speaking of things that I love.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I didn't read this because
I did.
This is a sight unseen. I will just pick this up.
Yep, and as you should, RoboCop, Citizen's Arrest number 3.
Boom.
Again, it is a good RoboCop comic, which is not something that you get very often, so you should jump on it if you have not already. I really don't have much more to say about it than I've said for the first two, other than just, it's great.
Yeah.
It really is exactly what you need out of a RoboCop book. It reminds me of the movie in the same, like, exploity, like, over the top ways, but also with an undercurrent of social commentary, and it's just great.
Mm. Yeah, there are a few books that I that are on my no matter what I will buy it. Like if Ambush Bug is in it, I'll buy it. If Metamorpho's in it, I'll buy it. You know, but this one has the distinction of being a book that I'll buy a sight unseen based on it being really good. So
yeah,
just it's really good, so I buy it. It's fantastic. So RoboCop, Citizen's Arrest number 3 out.
Cool.
Tomorrow.
I just grabbed this. There's no real reason for this being at the top.
No.
Because it's typical stuff, but I was surprised at the quality of this particular book.
It's slightly atypical.
It's true. The Weeknd presents Starboy,
yeah,
which I thought was an interesting thing for Marvel to pick up. I expected it to be kind of non-plussing, and it was, although pretty standard superhero type origin, it was a pretty interesting standard superhero type origin. So
yeah, so this is kind of like a Blade Runner-y kind of superhero kind of thing. So The Weeknd is, of course, pop music's big star, The Weeknd, and his newest album is called Starboy, and this is a comic book that is set in the universe of his musical enterprises, and it is kind of a futury thing with robots and superpowers, and surprisingly, I mean, I actually kind of was wondering if this would be good, and I thought it was pretty entertaining, and you know, pop culture wise, it will be. And this is a Marvel book, but it is, I believe, at least partially written by The Weeknd himself.
I would certainly hope so, considering it does say The Weeknd Presents.
Presents, but then the writing credits have like the real name. So I don't know if it's the real name of The Weeknd or if it's someone else or whatever.
There's
but,
also that.
Yeah.
All right.
You talk about this. I liked this.
Yeah, I absolutely like this too. This is a very, this is again, I say this every time I talk about these, but The Hunt for Wolverine, The Adamantium Agenda. Mm. It's, God, what a fucking terrible title. Just everything about this screams 1996. But man,
the art doesn't.
Just the title. But man, it is really good. The great, great book. Actually, a really good Greg Land cover.
Yeah.
For Greg Land, that is a great cover. And just interior silliness, superhero auction for the genetic code of someone that we can't reveal to you. It's kind of a spoiler from the last issue if you haven't read it. They thought it was Wolverine, but it was not.
Yeah.
And some explanations as to why Tony Stark owes him a favor to not allow his genetic code to get into the wrong hands.
And just to add the little bit of extra detail into that, this is very much a tie-in to the New Avengers run Brian Bendis did. It's written by Tom Taylor, who wrote the most recent Wolverine, all-new Wolverine series, which is really good. There's a cool cameo in that fans of that series will be into. And in general, of these Hunt for Wolverine ones, this is the one that I think is the best.
Yeah, I agree that it is the best, but I also, crazy enough, think they're all pretty good.
Yeah, in general, they are good. Can I talk about this?
Sure, do it, man.
All right, next up, I am going to talk about a book that I'm not sure how many people are still following. I've talked about it a couple times. BPRD's newest issue, The Devil You Know, number 7. If you are a Hellboy fan, thank you for that adjustment. Mm-hmm. That was good. If you're a Hellboy fan, read this book. Get this. Get the back issues. If you haven't read it, it is fantastic. I love it. I've needed this book to be... This is a sight unseen. I'm such a, you know, like I was talking about before, I pick up BPRD books. I pick up Hellboy books. It would take a lot for me to not pick up a Hellboy book. So, you know, for a while I've been kind of like, it's felt like a kind of a chain where I'm just like not really enjoying them. I am fully enjoying this. This is great. I love where this has been, where it's going. Fantastic book. BPRD, The Devil You Know, written by Mignola and Scott Alley, drawn by Sebastian Fiumara, whose name I believe comes up again in my picks this week.
Cool. Let me talk about a new number one.
Yeah.
This is one that I'm not going to say. This is Hawkman number one. This is the newest attempt to bring Hawkman back and give him some sort of relevance.
Which I liked, and then Tristan shamed me to not like it.
He shamed him. I didn't mean to, because I didn't really hate this book. I said that I hated it when I got done with it. But what I really meant was, it's like seeing a Spider-Man movie that has an origin story in it, where it's like, I really don't need this. It was very good for what it was, but I feel like maybe this is not the place to decide whether or not you like a Hawkman comic, because guess what? He's doing an archaeological dig. Guess what? He flies into the sky and fights somebody. Guess what? There's some past lives involved. Same tropes. Everything's the same over and over again. Obviously, issue 2 is where we're going to actually get some sort of real storyline happening. So
yeah.
That's
just a new take on Hawkman. I thought on the surface it was kind of like an Indiana Jones-ish kind of take on Hawkman.
I hope so. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah,
I would be super into that.
Cool if they kind of got away from the you know, when you have a character that has like such this reincarnation shtick that's been going on with Hawkman for a long time, like, you know, I mean, granted, it's not him going like tweet tweet and talking to birds like he used to in the 60s, which I love, and fighting flying gorillas. There should be more flying gorillas.
You know, he did kind of technically fight a flying gorilla in this.
Yeah, it's true.
So that was kind of cool.
Back to basics.
Yeah,
with Hawkman.
But yeah,
Birdman.
It could be great. It could be great.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I figured you'd want to talk about that sooner than later.
I very much want to talk about this. This was my favorite book of the week.
It was good.
The New Thor. Again, Jason Aaron writing, so I'm totally into it. There's so many cool side characters that I'm very happy about. You know, there's a main story where he's fighting Juggernaut, which is not the most interesting part of this.
Oh.
The most interesting part is the parts with his dog and the space shark and my god.
The art in it is absolutely stunning. There's two stories. The first one is Mike Del Mundo, who did a recent Avengers run, and
the second,
like kind of like a, oh, he did that. What was that really trippy series that I loved that he did? I'll try to think of it later.
Okay.
And then the backup is by Christian Ward, who drew the recent Black Bolt series.
I absolutely loved both parts of this. Yeah. The backup especially had like a... Normally, I'm not into those like corker endings where they're like, look, it's a character you haven't seen, and he says something. I'm like, whatever. And this one, I can't help it. There's something about this particular version of that really tickled me. I kind of love it.
Yeah, sorry. There were two characters that kind of show up out of nowhere, and they are not prominent characters, but for me, one in particular, I was super... You'll recognize them if you've seen the Thor films.
But also, Thorry, I'm so happy about Thor's talking dog.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, we lose the talking dog from Doctor Strange, and we get Thorry, who is awesome.
Wait,
and
did Jason Aaron create the talking dog?
I think
from
he
Doctor
might
Strange?
Have. He
That's
might
cool.
Have.
I like that he's got a talking dog thing.
That's great.
Because there was also the talking dog from space, who's still around, Cosmo.
Yeah,
Marvel.
Marvel.
They should have a talking dog series.
I mean, Loki and the Pet Avengers.
Yeah, I don't like the art style on that.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about the Asgardians of the Galaxy series that's coming up.
I saw that.
All you need to know is there's a Frog Thor.
Oh, cool.
I'm so
nice.
Happy.
That's
I'm
good.
So happy that Frog Thor is in this. That's like,
that's,
oh, yep, you got me.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so Thor number one is out and looks real good, reads real good.
Yep.
It's a good book.
It's wonderful. It's, I mean, I would say that it is comparable to Jason Aaron's other big Thor smash, which was the God of Thunder.
Right.
I would put it right up there.
And I would put it up there with his recent Avengers number one as well.
Boom. Yeah.
So segueing back over to DC, I am going to talk about Mr. Miracle number 9 by Tom King and Mitch Gerards.
Or Gerards,
however you want to say it. I absolutely love this book. This issue is particularly, I mean, the last like four have been just like hammer to the face, brutal. And this one is almost the most of those. But basically, this is, you know, getting into like, what if there actually was like a crazy serious space war between gods? And this issue is Mr. Miracle, who has everyone's dead but him, so he's High Father now, and he's negotiating a peace deal via Darkseid's proxy, which is his son Kalibak, and
who is really interesting in this book.
Yeah,
like
so many characters in this book that have never been interesting before are
honestly
super. Kanto, the assassin guy that dresses like the Scarlet Pimpernel or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's awesome in this.
But Kalibak, I feel like giving him glasses.
Yeah, that was so great.
I feel like that really made him, I was like, that one little weird decision, I was like really stoked.
It's like the first hint of a character, actual characterization that's ever been granted the character. And that's because Tom King, which as much as I haven't been super into his Batman run, I love his writing. I loved his Omega Man. I love Mr. Miracle. And
it absolutely blows my mind that you don't like his Batman run.
I know, it's weird.
I love it.
I
have not liked anything Batman for a long time. I don't even know how much I liked the 52 run. Like, I mean, Snyder's stuff was great, but
Snyder's thing run was weird.
But man,
my thing, I can't get past the idea that this whole wedding thing is just fake. And it's like, I know. And so it's like the whole thing. It's like, I got to sit through a year's worth of storyline for the end to be, and maybe I'll be wrong. And maybe I'll be like, oh, I got to go back and get these Batman comics. But like, I don't, there, speaking of Batman though, like, I mean, there's the issue of Detective Comics that's out, and I'll just jump into that because it naturally came up. It's in here somewhere. Detective Comics 982. So the last issue of this was the end of a long run, and so this is a fill-in one issue thing, and it is drawn by Sebastian Fiumara. So I was right that he was the guy that drew the BPRD issue that I talked about. I love this guy's art. This is a one shot story, one issue, $2.99 price tag. Can't go wrong. Batman versus Deacon Blackfire, which is a cult leader he fought in, I believe, Black Batman the Cult.
I remember. Oh my God.
No,
it's shit.
So it's like basically Batman versus a cult of like demon guys.
Oh wow.
And but it's also like a psychological, like what's in his head, what's not. Really, I thought it was a really strong issue. It was the first thing I read going to the store today, because I do it alphabetical.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did, and I actually was like, wow, this is really good. So I liked it.
I would love to put a plea out there. I know nobody listens to me or cares what I think, but man, if somebody would re-release The Cult with a real colorist. Yeah. I mean, not to insult the colorist. It was a product of its time.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Vertigo
and,
era. That
yeah,
early Vertigo
that kind
era,
of like,
just like
Coptic
mud.
Markers that are just muddy and like, mud. But man, like even black and white. I mean, seriously, Bernie Wrightson with those like terrible marker colors over his art is like a crime.
It's actually
a straight up crime.
I've never read The Cult.
Oh,
and I think one of the reasons
it
might be why is that I don't like the coloring on it.
I hate the coloring so much.
I don't know.
And it's really like, I mean, it's Bernie Wrightson in his prime being Bernie Wrightson and awesome. Yeah. And it's like,
I should read it.
And that coloring is like V for Vendetta bad.
Can I do the book club? Can I do The Cult?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, awesome.
Absolutely.
Great.
I would be totally into talking about Bernie Wrightson for however long anyone wants to talk about him.
Awesome.
Speaking of things I want to ramble about.
Nice.
You know what? I've just realized that I haven't talked about this at all. And it's another crying shame that I haven't, because this is one of my favorite comics, and it's just, I think I've just kind of said, you know what, people who are going to love this book are going to read it, and people who don't love it aren't going to bother with it, but you know what, let's talk about it. Kaiju Max, Xander Cannon's book.
The people what this book is
about. Yeah, I think that's probably pretty important. Kaiju Max is basically the story of a Supermax prison for gigantic Japanese monsters. They all talk to each other. They form little alliances. There are, you know, there are squabbles and arguments, and they basically have like a crew of people who are keeping them in prison, basically on Monster Island, on what their equivalent of Monster Island is. There's sort of, some of the monsters are clearly equivalent. You know, there's some like Jet Jaguar kind of Ultraman kind of characters. There's some real obvious. There's a Mecha Godzilla type character. There's all sorts of other things, and they keep making new ones. There's this giant bee in the new series.
Nice.
And it's amazing because what you would expect from this book is not what it delivers. What you would expect from this book is just kind of like a dumb, punchy, crazy, like just explosions, and you're seeing like interpersonal drama between gigantic monsters worrying about their families and what's going to happen on the outside. And it's like an HBO style drama. Like you could turn this into The Wire.
Yeah,
you know, it could very easily be some
or Oz or something.
Yeah, if you had made these regular people, these stories could have been told and been interesting as a people in prison story. But it's not, and it's so much better for it. And if you love giant monster stuff like Godzilla, and you like crazy ideas and big boisterous nonsense, this is the greatest. And I mean, if you liked Top Ten, I mean, he was his other thing was great too.
So just to jump in, this is a book that, like, you know, kind of when you're looking at all the comics, you know, as a customer. And this is a book that I've always known it was there, but I didn't know what it was. And so then I picked it up because this is a number one of season four, number one is what it's billed as. And I read this interior thing because I had no idea that this was about a prison or like what the scoop was with it. And it's like Dr. Zhang has murdered her abusive boyfriend Zahn in a fit of rage. Torgax, daughter of Electro-Gore, has been captured after her reign of terror in Alaska. Goat, an ancient creature from beyond space, now finds himself having to pay for the crimes of her time, or finds herself having to pay for the crimes of her tiny. So it's like, it's a, it's a, It's not a monster book.
No.
But also...
But it's full of monsters.
But what I will say about it, and that I think really sold me on this, is that it does what I want comics to do. It tells a story in a way that is punchy and vibrant and clear. And, you know, I was talking to Tristan in the store about... I'm reading all these books every week now that I haven't particularly been paying attention to, and I'm kind of developing this world-building fatigue where it's like every book is setting up these huge, expansive worlds, and I feel like there was that book Skyward that we read that we both liked, and I was like, okay, like this book did it right. It's just like, here it is, here it is. And this Kaiju Max totally does the same thing. Boom. You're in it. You understand what it is. And if it, you know that it does it right. It doesn't. I don't know what's wrong. The theory is not so well nuanced that I can tell you what it is that doesn't work. But there were a couple books that came out this week that I was just like, oh, I just can't do it. Like I just can't do it. I can't delve myself into this world of centaurs or this world of. You know, space fire people or whatever it is, you know.
But I mean, like, there's a very...
Although there was one that did come out that I did.
Yeah, there were a couple of them. Yeah. But I mean, I was able to get past that with a couple of the ones that you felt fatigued by. But I mean, I see what you mean. Don't worry about that.
it's our special guest.
Our Stinky. Special guest, the water. There's a lot of these that don't have a punchy start. You don't get thrown in. You don't get like just this moment where something occurs that draws you in. They expect you to want to be drawn in. They're like, hold on, let me tell you about the backstory of Zaskor, the Frundelak. And it's like, I don't really want to know.
There's too many books. There are too many books on the stands to rely on that, I think, and as a reader.
It's a very Game of Thrones type thing where they're just like, they want to back build the story from page one and give you 17 names, like giant pile of begats.
It almost feels like, it's like that never ending like Genesis book, but like it does feel like it's like these guys are all pitching these as like shows. It's like, and I don't, that's what I don't like. It's like,
and that's
what Kaiju Max does right, because it's like, I'm a comic. And I'm not a show in the form of a comic. Yeah. I'm a comic.
Because there's no way that you could ever make Kaiju Max.
You could do it as a cartoon show. Probably far-fetched, but like, you know, whatever. Right. I don't know. Why not?
But but you could never, this is never going to be an Avengers franchise.
I could see Kaiju Max as an Adult Swim show.
Oh, I would love that too.
Yeah. Oh, like it would totally work.
That would be great.
Yeah.
But nobody pitches them to be Adult Swim shows because that gives you about $15 to work with.
Right, right, right.
You know, whereas, you know, you see all of these Image books that are coming out where it's like, HBO dollars.
Yeah,
like you can just feel it.
Yep.
It feels disingenuous, and you get this, this is an IP farm, and that's all you ever want out of it.
Exactly. And I mean, it's not to say that a comic book isn't a good way to do that, but I just feel like if you're going to piggyback on comics as a showcase for your idea in order to pitch it, like at least do the readers the service of understanding that it's a fucking comic and not a show and not a script, you know, because it's like a script has a lot of information in it that you can get in that way. And I just feel like there's, I don't know, whatever. I'm belaboring the point, but Kaiju Max was awesome. And let's talk about more comics.
Okay. And that's my whole point.
Yeah.
Read Kaiju Max.
let's talk about another kind of world buildy one that I'm sticking with for now is from Boom Studios, which is called Coda, and issue 2 is out tomorrow. This is Simon Spurrier and Matthias Bergara. This is it's like a fantasy world with magicians, and honestly, the biggest reason why I'm into this comic is because the art is fucking phenomenal. And I like the story's interesting enough, but it's a lot of characters. But there's a lot of really super cool visuals in this. So if you like, you know, what's that video game where you climb the monster, the Colossus?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's if you like Shadow that kind of imagery, like yeah, Shadow of the Colossus kind of imagery. Like there's some cool ass stuff in this book. Coda number two.
Cool.
And then the other one that came out number one.
What was the other book that was another magic book?
I have
that
it. You didn't grab. Was it magic? But it was.
It was magic. It literally had magic in the title. It was the new Mark Millar book.
Oh, that one. No, that one I didn't. That one
magical fucking something. God damn
okay,
it.
Okay, you're on your own with that one. I didn't bring it, and I hate Mark Millar, so I didn't read it.
Okay,
but I love Olivia Coipel, and so I should have read it because he's great.
I'm going to have to look it up.
It's called The Magic People.
Jesus Christ. The Magic Order. Okay, so The Magic Order came out, number one. I absolutely loved it.
Cool.
It was... I mean, it also felt... I would say that it probably felt like a pitch, like everything that Millar does, too.
It's literally a Netflix comic book.
Right, of course. I mean, everything he does is now owned by Netflix. But that said, it also felt like... If you are a fan of the later Harry Potter movies, basically this felt kind of like a story of a splinter group of magicians from that world and a splinter group of Death Eaters kind of having at it. And one of them has like murdered someone and they've come in and there's sort of a bizarre thing going on. It had Harry Potter written all over it.
Yeah, I mean... Because every Mark Millar thing does, he's just like, what's popular with these kids?
Right.
Harry Potter. I'll shut up now.
No, I definitely understand, though, because it always feels like, and there's a thing that actually Chad used to say about Millar books. He was like, he basically takes a concept that is successful and says, what if some unlikable bro did fill in the blank? And he's like, oh, I got this script. It's called Chrononauts. What if an unlikable bro was in Back to the Future? There you go. Unlikable bros in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
It's like, I get that take on it, but I still think he's a great writer, and I still enjoy the books that have come out from him. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I still loved Chrononauts, but I also get that part of it as well.
I have not read a Mark Millar book since before the first Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass 2 made me hate him, but then I got back on board.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm conscious of them. I know they come out. They almost always have amazing art.
Yeah.
The guy's a friggin' money machine. So, yeah. Like, I mean, why wouldn't someone work with him? It's nothing... I just think that his stories are super hacky, and I don't, like, I don't know, whatever. Maybe he's better now.
I get what you're saying. But yeah, if what I was describing is your thing, I think you'll dig it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here's another one.
If you want your Harry Potter to have more snarky assholishness, then go.
And
tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
your day.
And honestly, you're not wrong. I mean, I'm not... literally can't defend against that.
I mean, I'm making it up. I didn't read it. I have no idea what it's about.
It's basically...
I mean, I looked through it. It's magicians.
It's,
I mean...
It's the old people from... But it
Harry
also...
Harry Potter grown up and with an attitude.
But also, it kind of reminds me of Clive Barker's Imagica as well. There's some other little, like... It's a bunch of magical people tropes jammed together.
Yep.
But let's talk about this new Joseph Keating book.
Yeah, I tried to read this, and this was the one that I realized I had world-building fatigue because I was like, I can't learn about this world.
So, I'm going to say...
I love Brett Bell Evans.
I'm going to say that...
He drew Sleepwalker.
I absolutely agree with you on both of those things. He did draw Sleepwalker. And I had a little bit of fatigue on this. This front-loaded way too much. There was very little. It felt like jumping into the middle of a big, long, like, Silver Surfer story where you didn't know any of the characters.
Yeah.
I don't think it's bad.
No.
I think it's just... I think that I was just not ready for that much commitment.
Yeah, yeah. It was like... So then the one that I that hit for me for some reason, I think I need a little bit of absurdity in my concepts to really kind of like be like, okay, what's up with this? Also, I need really good art. And The Weatherman, number one, is out tomorrow. This is by Jody LaHeap and Nathan Fox. Nathan Fox is awesome. Yeah. Love this guy. He did that. He did like this Lovecraft. What was the one about the swamp? It was a God, what was it? It was a Boris Karloff's thriller. There was a the something. It's
The Heap.
No, it's these guys, and it's like kind of the zombies and bugs and stuff. It's like Louisiana Pigeons from Hell. Pigeons from Hell.
Oh yeah, Pigeons from Hell.
He drew that.
Oh, I wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while since I've read that.
I don't know why that's the thing that he drew that I remember, but that's like
holy shit. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen that. Nathan Fox. I very much like that.
So this is set in 2770 something. So for some reason, in 7,000 years from now, there are still freeways and there are still cars, but they are on Mars. And
700 years from now.
100? Yeah, okay.
2777?
Yeah, sorry, I'm bad at math. So my secret origin is that I'm bad at math. Anywho, so yeah, 700 years from now, we're on Mars. We have roads and cars and planes and spaceships and people
and they
driving
eat
around.
Cars.
And they have cigars. A weatherman, and the weatherman is a... Oh, I gotta say. So, if you take a chance on The Weatherman, number one, which I really liked, and Tristan also really liked.
Yes.
Spoiler warning. If you just, there's an animal
there's
thing.
There's a dog death. I'm gonna spoil it because his dog gets killed.
His dog gets killed and it's rough.
And it's rough. It's really bad. No pun intended.
Super graphic.
But, yeah, it is really, and I just want to say this. Anybody who's like, I'm trying to make a career in comics and I want to start off with a book that like people are going to like, maybe don't kill an adorable dog in it.
I know, right?
I mean, it's like my rule for job interviews. Don't kill an adorable dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like just,
I'm the man for the job. Let me just
stab
this dog in the head. And what? You don't want to hire me? What?
I yeah,
don't, what,
seriously,
what are you about?
This is not. Yeah, yeah
but, no. But that said, this was a really strong first issue.
It absolutely was. This was
will
very good.
Probably be like a strong trade if the arc follows what I expect, the path that I expect the arc will follow. There was a good kind of what do you call that at the end when there's like a is it a denouement or something like
denouement.
That?
Denouement.
Yeah,
there was a good stinger. I think
it was more of a stinger
where it's like a one page where it's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, huh?
And the president's official. You know, like one of those.
Good.
Yeah, that's well, I just spoiled my new comic.
You just
damn
spoiled
it.
The comic. Okay, so should we move on?
Yeah.
Man of Steel, number three. It's a weekly series, so we talked about it last week and the week before. In this one, space rock fighting man arrives on Earth. I will say I do still absolutely think Man of Steel is great. The art in this one is by Ryan Sook, who is one of my favorite working superhero guys. He's really good, so real good art. But also the developing the world that Superman now inhabits by Brian Bendis, it's very strong, continuing to be strong, even though this is the one with the generic fighting guy from space.
Yeah. And that's, I thought that was interesting for me, especially because I absolutely do not care about that part of the story. I want more of the human elements of him. I like the idea of this sort of big crazy thing,
and you get that
as like a background to the humanizing elements of a character like Superman.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's a lot of big crazy space guy, and I still enjoyed it. So so that said, he can kind of, so far Bendis can do no wrong.
Yeah, and especially, you know, it's crazy to me. So I've been following the news this week that, like, I don't know what you've seen, but like Geoff Johns is like stepped down. The head of DC has stepped down. Somehow Dan Didio still works there.
It's insane to me. He has photos of every executive at
something.
Warner Brothers
something.
In some sort
but
of...
But even if
like,
he did, why would he want to work at DC? Like, I don't get it. Whatever, you know, it's a thing. So anyway,
the New 52 made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, but the Rebirth made even more money, and that was Geoff Johns.
Did it make more money?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, Geoff Johns is writing. The best selling DC comic right now is that Watchmen thing, and he's writing that.
That's true. I would definitely question that New 52 versus Rebirth. I think New 52 made way more money than Rebirth.
Really?
Oh yes.
Well, maybe it just. Okay, well, I mean, you'd be in much more of a position to know than I, but I know that Rebirth was a huge hit.
It was.
And it brought DC, like, above Marvel for the first time in forever.
Since New 52.
Since New 52, yeah, I guess.
But again,
either way, so all that crap went down, and so there's some sea changes going on at DC, and I feel like Man of Steel and the Superman universe is possibly the anchor. I also read a kind of spoilery thing that apparently The Question is going to be in the Action Comics run, and I don't know which version of The Question is going to be in there, but I love The Question, so that's pretty cool.
Awesome. That's awesome. And in defense of our friend Sean Murphy, that's why Sean got hired, was DiDio.
Oh.
DiDio had he had the end like I want him to do this book, and that's why we got White Knight. You know, so
that's cool. All right. Well,
we wouldn't
I should be hating on him so much.
He has made some pretty good decisions. I just think that you can't make 100% good decisions all the time. I
think he's made a lot of really weird, bad decisions.
He's made some really strange decisions.
I'm surprised to know that there was that good thing that he did at all. I'm surprised to hear that he did anything good. I don't know him, but I fell off that train when he did that Ambush Bug series, and then
he didn't do it. Bothered you.
Well, so I'm talking about, so like there was a Keith Giffen did an Ambush Bug miniseries that was not terribly great. Yeah. I mean, it was okay, but I was psyched that they did an Ambush Bug series, and it was a 6-issue series, and apparently he did something to Dan Didio in the comic that was so terrible that Dan Didio scrapped it, but then wouldn't ever say what it was or what happened. And so as a fan of this character, where I guess maybe there's 20 of us, I was for literally over a year, what is the deal? Is this comic ever going to come out? What's the scoop? And then finally, and I thought it was actually pretty clever, when it did come out, the next issue, they just skipped number 6, and the next issue that came out was number 7. And it was somewhere there's that comic that's done, and I would love to know what it is that was so bad in it, but something happened. That's anyway, I was amazing. Just how he handled that situation, I was just this guy doesn't get comics. There's just, and then I read some of the comics that he writes, and I'm just he doesn't, he likes comics, but he doesn't get comics.
I will.
But somehow he's in charge. and you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just, who am I? I'm just a guy who audits home mortgages.
That's fair. To be fair, he did stand up in front of people at New York Comic Con and say, "Who remembers the 90s? Let's bring it back to that." And everybody went, "Yeah." We were all like, "Oh God. Oh no. Oh dear God, no."
Well, that was the thing with the New 52 that I thought was so bad. It was
what he said. That was when he said that. It was when he was announcing New 52. He went in front of all the retailers at the retailer breakfast and was like, "Who loves the 90s?" And all the retailers were like, "We loved it, except for the part where we almost went out of business because they were so garbage and it was just chromium covers and no content."
Okay, hey, let's talk about the 90s and to continue to talk about comics.
Ooh,
and let's talk about a book that Tristan said he didn't quite understand, and I'm not sure I understand it either. However, I love it. So Michael Fifa of Copra fame has done a retake on the Rob Liefeld series Bloodstrike, which is called Brutalists, and part one is out, and I think it's great. I think the idea of taking these trash image characters like Bloodstrike, who basically is Cable with a ponytail. I mean, if you know Rob Liefeld, I have no love for Rob Liefeld. I was kind of getting, I had a waning period of comics when he was starting to come up, and that was part of why I just kind of didn't really like the, but anyway, he created all these characters for Image, created them, but they're all just clones of existing characters. But I there's this thing of these guys that have come up and are now kind of more prominent indie guys who remember that when they were kids and they're kind of coming. So like I'm thinking of the Brandon Graham run on Prophet, for example, and they're kind of like bringing like their vision to these wonk lame-bo characters. And Michael Fifa, who is awesome, and if you haven't read Copra, get it. You can buy directly from him on the internet and it's great. You can also buy it at comic stores such as Coast City Comics.
Totally.
But anyway, he's doing this Bloodstrike thing. So this is kind of like that X-Men thing that the guy from the hip-hop thing is doing.
Yes.
Second Coming, yeah, or whatever.
Grand Design.
Grand Design. So it's like guys who are indie guys kind of like remembering the stuff that they read when they were kids. And this is like feels like that. It's like this is... You will know more about these lame-ass Rob Liefeld characters than you ever wanted to know, and you will actually kind of like it if that's your deal. I'm on board for Bloodstrike Brutalists.
I
thought it was
and
good.
I mean, the next one is going to have that amazing, the amazing cover that has the pouch. So there's a variant cover coming up, which is literally a character who's made entirely out of pouches.
Nice. That's good.
I'm hoping that he is a real character and is actually introduced and like, exists in this world.
I mean,
I have a feeling he is not.
There's a fair amount of pouches on this cover.
That's true.
And there's also a woman who has four arms.
Forearmed is forewarned.
Yes.
Or something.
All right. Anyway, that's out.
Okay. So X-Men Blue 29 is out.
That was weird.
Dear God, this Venomized thing could not end quick enough.
Well, it did end, and now it's still going on in the regular X-Men comic.
Yeah.
Jimmy Wolverine is inhabited by a blood man venom. It's weird.
Yeah, there's a poison in this one, and if you don't know what that is, you know what? You're probably fine.
You're fine. However, I would rate X-Men Blue currently, even with the weird original team back, as the second best X-Men book.
Oh, yeah.
It's not terrible. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why Jimmy Wolverine is a Venom, or even why Jimmy Wolverine is around. Also, other people show up who I don't know why they're around.
Yeah, I agree. There are definitely superfluous characters in
this.
But
this came out.
Yes, but this came out, which is great.
Yeah.
New Mutants, Dead Souls, number 4. I didn't read it, but I've been reading the rest of it. Did you check this one out?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
It continues from the last issue. I did like it. I like what happens in the very end of it, and I have a feeling that I will be very interested in the next issue or two. I assume it's a miniseries. I assume it's 6 issues, and this is number 4, right? So there will be 2 more. But I'm down with the character that looks to be making a return just from characters I like from when I was a kid.
Exactly. I'm always stoked when Warlock, Douglock, whatever he's going to be called, is in a thing. So
Tristan gave it away. Warlock's back.
Well, I mean, he literally was
he was
the
last
one.
Too. Yeah, true enough.
So
what I'm going to... Let's talk about this.
Sure.
How about this? There was a Titans special, and I am an unabashed, have no fear, no shame. I love the Titans, and I really liked this. It was good. This sets up the new Titans series, which is Nightwing doing like the Titans as a Justice League Strike Force kind of thing. It has Beast Boy, Raven, Steel's daughter, Natasha. And she has a cool hammer. She has a cool pocket laboratory that she smashes with a hammer in order to make it big.
Yeah.
That was a cool concept.
Yep.
I really like this. It was fun. Some of the art I liked. It had several different artists. One of the artists I hated, and all of the rest of the artists I like. I'm not sure that I will like the artist when the Titan series relaunches, but we'll find out. I'll probably follow it because I like...
Yeah,
I like Nightwing.
As a Marvel person who doesn't really usually get into the Titans, I've only liked the Geoff Johns run of Titans, Teen Titans. That was kind of the only thing that I was really into for that series. This actually I very much enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I feel like this going forward is going to be one that I'm going to be stoked on. So.
And also, just to follow up from last week, I said I would mention whether I liked Justice League number 1 or not. And I did indeed very much like Justice League number 1.
Good.
It was good.
Awesome.
Another book I liked. There were so many comics. We left a ton. And there's still, I mean, we probably won't even talk about all these ones I brought.
Yeah.
But there's still a couple more. The Marvel 2-in-1 Annual is one I definitely really want to talk about. The Thing and the infamous Iron Man. So this is... The Thing, the regular real Thing, and the infamous Iron Man is Dr. Doom. So it's a team up between the Thing and Dr. Doom as they enter a parallel universe with a lot of Reed Richards's in it. The thing to note is that this run has been really good. It is written by Chip Zdarsky, who I like a lot. And in particular, this annual is drawn by Declan Shalvey, who I also very much like the art of. And I thought this was a very strong superhero comic with The Thing. And before I go further, I forgot to mention it when I talked about Exiles and The Thing. So The Thing is in Exiles, but also we talked about the Juggernaut. And I forgot to mention there is a Juggernautalus in the Exiles. And that is, in case you're wondering, the Juggernaut, who is also a Nautilus.
Yep, pretty great.
Amazing.
Okay, well, we're at like 45 minutes, so let's start blowing through some stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about these.
I have some important things to talk about. Okay, I want to talk about Nancy Drew from Dynamite.
Yep.
Nancy Drew from Dynamite is great. Yeah. It also has a goat that I very much liked, and I wish he was the star of the series. I'm hoping that he makes a comeback in the next issue.
Can I really quickly shout out to my wife, who has a Nancy Drew tattoo. Has a collection of all the original or the 1960s Nancy Drew books, and I found out that every Nancy Drew book involves her discovering a mystery, getting knocked unconscious, and then solving it in a couple pages, which is pretty interesting. Literally everyone is apparently like that, but this Nancy Drew book is a modern take by a completely female creative team.
Yes.
And I thought it was really good, and I read it because of that connection. But
okay, and we have a new Boombox title, By Night.
I liked it.
I liked it as well. It's not typically my type of thing, but definitely as an all ages type of like young adult ish title.
Yeah, but with a cool concept. It's like two like kind of college friends that discover a portal to other dimensions, and it's really just a setup. They don't really do anything with the portal, but like it was a cool concept, and the art is really cool.
It's funny. It reminded me, for some reason, it reminded me of Lovecraft Country, the book, because there's a place in the book where they basically have a portal to another world, and it looked. It was like same deal, like kind of in a planetarium kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but yes, very cool. I'm looking forward to what actually happens later.
Yes, definitely.
This one was just basically a setup.
Cool, distinctive art style.
The only really important thing that I really want to talk about at the end here is Plastic Man.
Yeah, Plastic Man was good.
I mean, Gail Simone is so awesome.
Yeah.
And Plastic Man is a perfect thing for her to be writing. This is kind of an origin story kind of issue.
Yeah.
But it's still great.
Might not be like continuity. It's just kind of its own thing, which is cool. Also, Plastic Man uses his plastic powers to give himself extra abs to impress a woman.
He does. So many abs. Okay, and Marvel Rising Alpha is also out. This is going to be... this is kind of the all-ages book or the teen book for Squirrel Girl, Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, and a few other, America and somebody else. These are all going to be, it's sort of, I don't
like
even know.
Like a YA audience target, strong female casts. I actually really dug that. This one was Ms. Marvel and Squirrel Girl, and I liked it. I also just really quickly want to mention Squirrel Girl is out tomorrow, the newest issue, which is Squirrel Girl and Kraven, and they bring a character named Mojo 2 back in it. I don't know who Mojo 2 is, but apparently he existed before, and it's, as usual, very funny. Also, the second to last issue of Dry County by Rich Tomasso. This should have been much earlier in there, but it was just kind of like it's the second to last issue. This is a great, great, great miniseries. If you like crime comics, I would highly recommend Dry County. And also Young Animals, Eternity Girl number 4. This is a book that I very much look forward to reading in fully in trade. Really cool story, but super trippy, and the art is really good. Eternity Girl.
Awesome. And Domino is also out, another Gail Simone book, and I absolutely love the other two issues. I haven't read this one, so
yeah.
Whatever. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
And
lots of books, and we didn't even like. There's so many books that got left at the store.
The Milk War, the
Milk Wars trade.
So Young Animal, big old crossover with the Justice League and all of those things, and Swamp Thing, and all sorts of other crazy characters. That's out. Yeah. So if you didn't happen to pick it up in all the individual issues,
highly, highly, highly recommended that you grab that trade. It
definitely,
is great.
Definitely recommend that. And I also, there was a Hellboy short stories compilation trade that was out that looks really cool.
It's
all the side stories that aren't necessarily all drawn by Mignola, but some Corbin in there.
Lots of Corbin.
Real cool looking book. There was a few other trades of note, but there's just too much stuff to, we'd be talking forever if we could.
Exactly. So come on in.
Also, I really want to eat the rest of these Rolos, and I tried to open one and it was making too much noise, so I'm dying of starvation.
Excellent. All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Yes. We need a good sign off.
Okay, that's it.
That's it.
We need a good sign off. Don't need no cigarette.